if the Spirit's still moving upon you, don't break what he's doing. We're going to go ahead and give a teaching tonight. Father, we just reverence your presence. We thank you for your awesomeness. We thank you for visiting us time and time and time again. We love you with all of our hearts. And we thank you that the atmosphere is saturated with your presence. In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight, what we're going to be talking about is called getting off the X. Getting off the X. I want to start off with a prophetic word by a new young prophet by the name of Troy Black. This was given on July 17, 2024, and released on July 22, 2024. So I was driving in my car the other day, coming back from the airport, and I was worshiping the Lord, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and I had to pull the car over into a parking lot. And I began to write down what God showed me about Trump and about a second attempt on his life. I heard a prophetic word on July 17th before Biden officially dropped out. Okay, so I heard this word on July 17th, and this was before Biden officially dropped out, that I heard the word. But obviously, we're going to have to wait and see what happens next. You know what nominee is and is officially in place and all of that kind of stuff. But I heard the Lord say someone will emerge only to quickly drop out again, drop down again. He said a tainted system enlisting the help of the enemy, an outsider to get the job done, but it will not go well for them. So I'm making an assumption here that this probably applies to the Democratic candidate. I don't know for sure. So this may apply somewhere else, but I'm letting you know that that's my interpretation of it. But what I heard the Lord say specifically was someone will emerge only to quickly drop down again, a tainted system. So I'm going to leave that word on the table, and we're going to have to wait and see how that plays out. But on the 19th, 2 days later, this is what I heard the Lord say. He said, my fire is coming to a nation right now. He's not talking about judgment. He's talking about revival fire. Okay. He said, and is going to spread across the earth. A national revival is at a breaking point and about to break out and stream forth. If my people will consume the thoughts of God on a daily basis, then he said this, what is your will? Is the question to ask, talking about what is God's will? And he said, not what I can do for myself or what can you do for me? So a lot of us are asking the Lord, what can I do for myself or what can you do for me? But God is saying, if we begin to ask this question, Lord, what's your will? What's your will for this country? What's your will for this situation? What's your will for my life? Not this is what I want, Lord, and they'll make it happen. You know, like, and that's where we often come from. But to really be a child is, yes, to ask a loving parent for help or for what you need or even for what you want sometimes. But it's also to take a step back and realize they are in control. They know better than you. And for some of us, I just sense this from the Holy Spirit. We have, even in the church, we have an authority problem right now. And the authority problem is not with our leaders, Christian leaders, our pastor so much. The authority problem is between us and God, where we once like to control what happens next by pleading with him or by begging him or whatever. And the Lord is saying, it's not your will, my church, that ultimately needs to get done. It's my will. And this is where we need to be. where we can ask, yes, we can pray, but then we need to take a step back like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, but not my will be done, Lord, but your will. What do you want me to do based on your will, based on the leading of the Holy Spirit? The Lord was speaking over a series of days, but what I saw as I was driving the car worshiping the Lord, I began to see this vision of the Lord of Trump's ear. You know, from this attempt that happened, and I saw this very vivid picture of the ear and the blood and everything. But this is what I heard. It will happen once more. It's going to happen again. This time will be closer than the first. And the impression I got was closer. Might not mean nearness to death. It might mean closer in another way. As if it could be like physical locality, you know, or something like that. I don't know. I don't claim to have a full interpretation of that. Could mean closer to home. It hits closer to home. I don't know. But I heard this phrase next. A quote unquote shot will ring out. Now that the Lord says shot with quotes, a shot will ring out. So that could represent something else other than a physical shot, obviously. And then I heard someone will attempt a second time. And then I got this impression immediately that Trump's going to be just fine. That's the impression I got. I'm just going to share that as an impression from the Lord that he will survive. He'll be just fine. So maybe this is something that won't even play out in a physical sense, but maybe it will be uncovered ahead of time. I don't know. But then I heard the same thing will happen again where someone attempts to shoot the president. So very clear language. There again, could be metaphorical, I don't know. And I got this impression that I'm not sure how it relates or it connects at all, but I had an impression of this phrase, a local boy or a local hero being involved. I don't know exactly what that means necessarily. And God wanted this brought out tonight so that you could do your part in intercession and prayer. There's a lot that's at stake. There's a lot that's taking place in this warfare. And I remember many prophetic words where God said the revival was going to break out in the midst of chaos, tragedy, and different negative world events. And we have to keep that in mind. I'm not a dreamer, but the last couple of days I've had the same dream repeated over and over again. And it's been volcanoes erupting and just spewing ash all over the place, killing anything that the ash touches. And it's a real hot red lava. The Bible says that we're going to have various signs in the heavens and in the earth. And there's volcanoes that are dormant that are becoming active right now. So just be on the lookout for those things. We need to be in prayer strategically for President Trump. We all know that we're in an intense time of warfare, and we must learn how to fight the good fight of faith. A part of having a warrior mindset is being able to adapt to the situations that are around about you, having situational awareness and discernment of who the true enemy is. I'm going to read that again. A part of having a warrior mindset is being able to adapt to the situations that are around about you, having situational awareness and discernment of who the true enemy is. The body of Christ has to become better at this. Since the start of the war between Israel and Hamas, there are some powerful observations about warfare that we can apply to the body of Christ. One of those things is that Israel has been very strategic in their targeting. We need to be the same way in targeting our prayers. They have went above and beyond notifying civilians and innocent parties to leave the areas that they are about to attack and bomb. This cuts down on the collateral damage that will occur during war. We need to understand that warfare tactics have changed, and we must change in order to effectively fight the war that God has placed before us. Now, let's be very clear about one thing. It is God who fights the battles for us. He commands his angels to have charge over us, and all victories come from him. Understanding this from the beginning will make your warfare life easier. You just have to be a willing participant in doing what God instructs you to do. In previous times, we used to use terms like bombard heaven and do warfare against the darkness. Using these old principles many times caused us to exert energy and do warfare against the wrong target. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, the news is talking about a 7.0 magnitude earthquake off the coast of Russia. And following that earthquake, a volcano eruption occurred in Russia. Yep. Within a 24-hour period, that just happened.
Wow. God is awesome. He's been warning and warning and warning and telling us. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In modern warfare, there is a lot more surveillance, a lot more understanding of who is the enemy, and a considerable amount of preparation. This is where the body of Christ needs to change as well. Sometimes there is downtime, and it appears that nothing is going on. We must train ourselves to not look at this as downtime. This must be looked upon as preparation time. This time is necessary for prayer, fasting, and listening to the voice of God to get the true picture of what is going on. We must learn to use this time wisely. Matthew 26, verses 39 to 46 and 51 to 54. And after going a little farther, he fell face down and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible that is consistent with your will, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not stay awake and keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep actively watching and praying, that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words once more. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Listen, the hour of my sacrifice is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners, whose way and nature is to oppose God. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is near." Verse 51. And one of those who were with Jesus reached out and drew his sword and struck Malchus, the slave of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in its place, for all those who habitually draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will immediately provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" When they did the calculations of the 12 legions, it was enough to wipe out the entire world. Every man, woman, child, every living thing. How then will scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen this way? Peter took his sword and cut off the ear of the slave of the high priest? Did he know who his enemy was? Did Peter use his downtime properly? Did Peter think that the slave of the high priest was his enemy? We'll answer this in a few. When you look at some of the things that Israel has done in order to avoid casualties, they were strategic. Specified airstrikes using drones, specialized bombs, using the Army and the Air Force to take out and destroy very specific targets. In one attack, Israel used a specific type of bomb to destroy a part of a building on the corner of that building. This left the remaining part of the building where possible innocent people were completely intact. In another attack, Israel, in the middle of a city, sent a bomb to destroy one high-rise building. Nothing else was affected. There was a church right next to this building that was unharmed. The building that they targeted was completely destroyed. These are the tactics that we need to employ going forward in the war that is going on right now. Think about this in this way. In times past, when a person was bound with drugs, gluttony, sex addiction, etc., they were shunned, cast out, and received no help from the church whatsoever. We made them an enemy, and they didn't need to be. They didn't get prayer. They didn't get prophecy. They didn't get an encouraging word to let them know that God was able to deliver them and set them free. These people had nowhere to go to get help. Fortunately, we have learned not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Now we see that we're dealing with demons that are inside of people, causing them to perform these behaviors. When we started addressing the demons and effectively loving the people, allowing the anointing to go into them, change is occurring, and they are receiving breakthroughs in their lives. So we changed our tactics. It starts with them. They have to have the desire to change. They have to be willing to go through the warfare that it takes to be free. But now the body of Christ is recognizing that these people really want to be free. The body of Christ is learning and working with them and pulling them out of the fires of hell. Back to Peter. Did Peter use his downtime properly? Did Peter think that the slave of the high priest was his enemy? Peter did not use his downtime properly. And Peter was not sure of who the enemy was because he didn't spend the time in prayer like Jesus. This is very, very important for us to understand right now because of the fog of war. We have to practice using what you would consider your downtime properly. In another instance that Israel used, they took out one of the major leaders in Hamas by using an implanted spy. This spy went way behind enemy lines into the home of this terrorist leader. This spy placed a specific bomb in the bedroom of the person that needed to be taken out. Unbeknownst to the staff, the guards of the person, and even the family, this bomb had been planted for weeks prior to it being used, and they had no idea that the bomb was there. When the time was right, and if few innocents were involved. Again, they were watching to make sure they just weren't killing everybody. Israel destroyed this man in his own bedroom. This has caused such a stir in the camp of Hamas. They are afraid because they don't know if there are any more bombs that have been planted in their homes. This was a fantastic plan orchestrated by God to rid Israel of its enemies. It's very important that we seek the Lord in everything that we do during this time of warfare. This war is going to last as long as God needs it to last, to rid the earth of the enemies of the cross. We have to get that within our spirits. It's going to last as long as God needs it to last, because to get rid of the enemies of the cross. Now, every one of us needs to understand that we were specially handpicked for this season to do specific warfare in targeted areas that will destroy the enemy's kingdom on this earth. Some of you may be those spies that go deep behind enemy lines and plant those bombs. your calling is that special, is that unique. We must embrace who we are. We must embrace what we're going to be used for. We're weapons in God's hands. The destruction of the enemy's kingdom and helping God bring in those who are destined to know him. The body of Christ knows how to fight, but we don't have a clear picture of who the enemy is. Sometimes we need to remind each other, I'm not the enemy. I went to my brothers in here, and I declared to them, you're not my enemy. I am not your enemy. And I believe that that helped bring us together in a different way. They were shocked, but they echoed the same thing back to me. This painted a clear picture of whose side we are on. We are on the Lord's side. One of the problems that occurs when we get into intense battles is the noise and the fog of war. You can't see clearly. You can't hear clearly. And sometimes you have to discern where the bullets are coming from that are aimed at you. And this happens. And it's amazing how when people get into different trauma situations, they start attacking the people that are trying to help them because they just can't see. They just don't understand what's really going on. And the same thing happens in real wartime scenarios. And we as the body of Christ need to realize we need to take a step back and look and see what's really going on. You need to make sure that you're in the right position so that you're not blocking someone else's field of fire. Have you ever thought about that? You could be out of position and keeping somebody who's assigned to shoot and destroy something from being able to do their job because you're in the way. This is why we need to practice warfare. This is why we need to learn to communicate with each other. Studying some of the things from the modern-day SEAL teams, they teach these strategies in their combat schools. One of them is to try to take a step back from the situation that you're in and observe it from a bird's eye view. Can you see the battlefield? Can you see the other soldiers who are fighting with you? Can you clearly determine where the enemy is at? These are all things that you need to know. What happens next should be communication with your brothers and sisters in arms, saying the enemy is on the left, be careful, watch out, or we all should move to the right because there's a trap over there. And we have to learn how to start listening to each other and obeying those commands, because it's not that the person is trying to be in charge. They're trying to warn you of impending danger. And these are some of the things that they learned in the tactics classes that they were teaching, you know, because they were leading men into battle and nobody was given direction. Nobody was given instruction on what's going on. Other people could see it, but they weren't shouting those instructions to the rest of the team. But the other part is that the team has to listen and understand and interpret what's being said. We need to start doing this in the body of Christ. We need to start communicating and saying what we see. This communication takes two parts. The person saying what is going on needs to be clear. The person listening to what's going on needs to make sure they understand what is actually being said. We don't take the time to listen to one another to find out what each other's needs are. We know each other's weaknesses and we can exploit them, but we don't know each other's strengths. When you look at the things that go on in SEAL teams and specialized operations teams, they take the time to know everything about the other team members. They become committed to each other to fight the war and to win. This needs to go on in the body of Christ. We need to be able to say, I see the battle going this way, and then everyone discusses what's going on and then make decisions from there. And it's nothing for Pastor Barber to call and say, this is happening, and God has shown me that we need to go here. And she'll ask, are you picking up anything? Sometimes I hear something, sometimes I don't. And I know she goes to each one of the team members and says the same thing. And that's how we gain insight, and that's how the battle is being won, because there's a lot of communication that goes on behind the scenes in order to keep things moving. Many people don't understand what it takes to run this church. Many people don't understand the level of coordination that has to take place in order to keep the Spirit moving. And that's all under the direction of Pastor Barber, who's being led by the Spirit. But we have to join together in forces and be teams and listen and then communicate back so that we can, hey, this is what I see over here. Oh, I didn't know that was going on. Let's do this. See what I'm saying? So there's a lot of communication that has to continuously take place. We must understand that there are going to be times when we're going to get ambushed and we are on the X. The X is where the heaviest fighting is going on. You are in the direct line of fire from the enemy. Now, this is from a former Navy SEAL, Jason Redman. For thousands of years, war has been waged. And for thousands of years, enemy forces have looked for positions of superiority and tactical advantage to surprise and overwhelm an unsuspecting enemy force as they move through this compromising position. These surprise attacks are called ambushes, and a well-trained force can utilize high ground, superior firepower, and violence of action to absolutely overwhelm and devastate the enemy. Most forces caught in a well-executed ambush do not survive. The amount of firepower and devastation causes them to freeze, lose their will to fight, and most die on the spot where the ambush occurs. I'm going to read that again. Most forces caught in a well-executed ambush do not survive. The amount of firepower and devastation causes them to freeze, lose their will to fight, and most die on the spot where the ambush occurs. In military jargon, this location is known as the X. The only way to survive a real-world enemy ambush is to get off the X. So listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to tell us by saying get off the X. We need to realize that these ambushes are set in place, and then we need to immediately relocate ourselves outside of that field of fire. Whatever that takes, however the Lord leads and however that the direction happens, we need to be willing, again, to adapt and change our tactics and strategies. I remember years Pastor Barber would say, the song's got to change. We got to find different music. And then God just kept leading her. She kept changing. And I think she's found where God wants us to be. But because she didn't stay on the X, the church could have died many times because the church was being ambushed by different dumb things that were happening. But because she kept listening to the Spirit of God and kept moving, you know, a lot of times you'll hear Pastor Barber say, don't stop where you're at. Keep going. Keep moving. Because if you stop where you're at right now, you're going to die. And this is one of the things that we need to encourage each other with in this warfare that we're going right now. Don't just stop. Keep moving. Because you need to get out of that place of where you're being bombarded and attacked. And then seek another position where you can in turn start attacking the enemy yourself. And this is where we have to have this warrior mindset. Get off the X as quickly as possible. You must recognize the ambush, fight back, and get off the X and out of the kill zone. Sometimes the body of Christ does not fight back. Sometimes we let the enemy run over top of us, and we have to change that mentality. We have to get that warrior mindset of, I'm not going to be overcome. Because the Holy Spirit is inside of me. God is leading me. God has given me direction. And he's not made me a weak person. He's made me victorious. And all of us have to get that mindset no matter what's going on. This Jason Redman said, I served all my adult life in the U.S. Navy SEAL teams and trained for years learning how to execute vicious and devastating ambushes on enemy forces. If given the chance in September of 2007, I felt firsthand what it feels like to be on the receiving end of overwhelming power, firepower. The feeling of devastation, the feeling of helplessness, the desire to just hunker down and hope the pain, cacophony of sound, and raw firepower would just go away. If you're like that, if you're wanting it just to all end and to stop, listen at what he's saying. But after years of learning how to deliver an ambush, my team and I knew the only way to survive was to fight back and get off the X. We have to do this. This is what we did, and thanks to my teammates' tenacity and courage, we won the fight and everyone made it home alive. I quickly learned that I got off one X only to step into a new ambush in a new X. And how many times have you heard us say that? We go from battle to battle to battle to battle. So this isn't just a one-time thing that you're going to be experiencing. You're going to continuously have to realize, man, I'm in a trap and I got to move to high ground. I got to move to a position where I can start shooting at the enemy. It was the life ambush that erupted due to my injuries in the four-year journey of surgeries, rehab, setbacks, and successes that led ultimately to my medical retirement from the SEAL teams. I could have gotten bitter, but thanks to my training, I recognized the mechanics of an enemy ambush were the same as the real world ambush. I found myself in, and the only thing that I could do to survive was to get off the X. In closing, James 4:7, so submit to the authority of God, resist the devil, stand firm against him. We've got to stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Now, there's Dr. Rebecca Brown wrote in a book called He Came to Set the Captives Free. And there are things that happened with Dr. Rebecca Brown and Elaine, who was the witch that she was helping. So these are some things that Elaine had to make a choice to do in order to stay free. And I believe that these apply to everyone. And we need to continuously be in this. So this is a choice had to be made. The weeks following Elaine's first deliverance were intensive weeks of decisions that would affect the rest of both of our lives. The Lord spoke to me at the beginning of that week. He asked me if I would be willing to commit my life to him in a new way, to be used by him in any way. He chose to directly fight Satan and stand in the gap so that many souls could be saved, especially among those of the brotherhood. The Lord told me that if I chose such a course, that I could expect suffering and persecution. Also, that I would have to change my career plans. He showed me that I could expect much loneliness and rejection and have to lay down my medical career completely, but that he would always be with me. He also told me that I would lose my entire family, which I have. Is this the price that you're going to have to pay for doing what God wants you to do? Dr. Rebecca Brown had to make that choice. And each and every day we go into battle, we go into warfare, we have to make the choice. Are we willing to lose our family? Are we willing to lose our health? Are we willing to lose friends that we've had for a long time? Are we willing to lose friends in a ministry because they don't understand what you're called to do? Heavy choices. But each and every moment, these are things that can put us on the X and keep us in an ambush. If you're holding on to a person, your family member, a friend, because you want to see them make it, it may not be time for them to come in. It may be time for you to let them go so that you can move on and advance in the part that God has for you to play. And this is hard to say because we want to see everybody make it, but sometimes it's not their time. It's your time. God's trying to use you. God's trying to push you forward. And sometimes he has to cut the dead weight off of you so that you can advance. Maybe they'll come back down the road and change. But if not, you still have to go forward with your call. You cannot let anyone stop you. Your emotional health and well-being will be attacked. This is Dr. Rebecca Brown, too. Also, the Holy Spirit quickened Galatians 6:2 to my heart. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Once again, I had peace in my heart and spirit that I was hearing the Lord correctly. Nevertheless, by the end of that week, I was both discouraged and depressed. I saw Pastor Pat the next Sunday again and shared with him what had been happening and also my depression. I will never forget the experience. Pastor Pat looked me square in the eye and said, Rebecca, entering into spiritual warfare in a deep commitment such as you are describing will mean rejection and suffering. If you can't take it, then you'd better get out now. You're going to encounter rejection and suffering. You just may as well just deal with it. You just may as well learn to adapt and grow. Your sleep will be affected. During the entire 8 weeks period, neither one of us had more than 1 to 2 hours of broken sleep per night. You will fight demons, human spirits, and people who are in agreement with the devil. This is something I think we are naive to. Everybody wants to be saved. This isn't true. This is not true. The battle took place simultaneously on three fronts: against demons, against human spirits of cult members, and against people from the Brotherhood who were sent to try to kill us. You must understand that there are people who are demonically inspired who are trying to take you out. They want to stop you. You will endure physical attacks. I was in the kitchen fixing dinner when Elaine came under the control of what I thought was a demon. I realized she was in the kitchen when I was stabbed in the back with the large knife I had been using to cut up the meat. I grabbed her hand saying, "No, demon, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You will give me the knife." I was surprised to hear a very feminine voice answer me. "You can't order me around like some demon. I don't have to obey you and your stupid commands because I'm not a demon. Now I'm going to teach you both a lesson." An all-out wrestling match ensued, during which I received a number of rather severe cuts. Blood was all over the kitchen as I struggled for both the knife and our lives. I kept saying, "I don't care who or what you are, I will defeat you in the name and the power of Jesus." So think about the prophetic word that God gave us this morning about the demons not submitting to the rebuke. You're going to have the fortitude, the strength to stand and keep standing and telling that devil no, and mean it, no matter what. God didn't say that we weren't going to have the power to defeat them, but he did say that they're going to resist with everything inside of them. So that doesn't mean that we give up. That doesn't mean we just let them win. We just have to dig ourselves in deeper and fight harder. The Spirit of the Lord is going to be with us. Everything that God is doing right now is strategic for us to go forward and advance his kingdom. You're going to have to make many decisions, sometimes multiple times a day, whether or not you're going to want to keep going. The word is get off the X. Get off the X. Get into a place where you're out of that ambush and get into a place where you can actively start shooting and destroying the works of the enemy. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this teaching. I thank you for the words that went straight into your people's spirits. We pray, Holy Spirit, that we would remember where we are, what you've called us to do. We would understand and observe who our real enemy is. It's not the people that we're serving with, but it's the dark forces from hell that are trying to stop what you're doing in this end time hour. Father, as a body of Christ, we cover President Donald J. Trump in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we lift him high before you. We thank you, Father God, that you're doing the work that needs to be done to save America and to bring America to its knees so that it can bow in repentance before you. And Father, as we learn to war and wage war, we thank you for being with us, leading, guiding, and directing us every step of the way. Sharpen our discernment and help us to clearly see the battle the way that you see it. In Jesus' name, amen.